Welcome inside to the big show in the morning. I hope you had a great weekend. And thank you for joining us on this fine, fine Monday downtown in Calgary from the Sportsnet 960 studio in the corner of 5th Street and 7th Avenue in the Southwest. My name is Matt Rose, and across from me sits Will Nault. And what a weekend it was. The Stampeders got a win, as we were just discussing off the air. Yuck, but you got it done. That's what matters.
Good thing you're playing the Red Blacks. That's about all I can say.
Yeah. Listen, the Red Blacks are a better team than I think their record would state, but young quarterback.
When you score 3 points in a Canadian football game, yeah, sorry.
Would they go 2 and out 6 times, 5 turnovers, 2 of them in garbage time?
Yikes.
So there was that.
Caleb Evans, no good.
There were some games on Saturday as well. Which didn't
this
catch
just
a ton
in,
of.
The Nathan Rourke kid, pretty good.
Yeah, after, struggling for a couple of games, right back at it. Only missed a few passes once again.
3 incompletions on 37 attempts.
Not bad.
3 incompletions.
Once again, like if we're going to say the Stampeders had a little bit of help with their opponent, the BC Lions have put up 100 points on the Elks in 2 games this season. And then most recently in week 9.
They've done a nice job beating up on some real crappy teams. And Edmonton obviously would be in that category. It was 46-7 after 3 quarters, 37-7 at the half. Nathan Rourke with 5 touchdowns through the air, added 1 more on the ground. Oof. And we've talked about this a lot. We'll talk about this later this week when Justin Dunk will join us for his weekly visit. But if you're not doing anything next Saturday, might want to go to McMahon, get your own look at Nathan Rourke, because I don't know if he's going to be in the Canadian Football League next year.
Now, of course, we're going to have our slow pitch tournament, Sportsnet 960 Saturday morning, so you might be going to that. It's sold out, so if you were thinking about it and you wanted to get tickets for your team, too late, or a spot for your team, too late. But tickets. Some people will be going. And then grab yourself some tickets to the Stamps and Lions game, because 5 o'clock is when that one's going to be firing off. And it's going to be one to see, for sure. Because like Will mentioned, Nathan Rourke is putting together quite a season up here in Canada. It's not often that you see a Canadian quarterback having success like this, which makes it kind of cool in one respect, but just the fact that there's kind of a young, exciting quarterback coming into this league that a lot of people are sitting down to watch and taking the time to, you know, check out. Like you mentioned, perhaps maybe gets a look down south eventually, but for now, a lot of fun to watch. And of course, the Lions have now only lost once. They go to 6-1. Losing once against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this season. They're second in the Western Conference, and the Stampeders right on their tail. 1 win behind them at 5-2, and going to be trying to track them down here with this game Saturday. Going to be a big one as far as the Western Conference goes. Standings, division, whatever. Conference, division, doesn't matter.
Same thing.
But in the end, you're probably going to have to battle each other in the West Division semifinal to eventually play the Bombers in the West Division final, just with the way the matchups have gone between Winnipeg and BC and between Winnipeg and Calgary. So we had that from the CFL. The Jays were taking on the Twins. A couple of very interesting results down in Minnesota. Walk-off victories, non-walk-off victories. I don't know what you would call yesterday. The Jays score a run in the 10th inning, controversial, I think would be one word for it, and they end up winning, they end up splitting their series with the Minnesota Twins, so they are 2 games up on their opponent, 2 games up on both the Rays and the Mariners in the wild card standings as we get set for this week, and it's going to be a big one for the Jays with the Baltimore Orioles, their opponent here kind of an interesting next 10-ish days for the Jays as they'll play the Orioles on the road here. They got another series on the weekend, and then they'll face the Orioles again. And I don't remember the last time where it was an Orioles series that actually mattered something as far as the playoff race for both teams. It's been quite a few years of the Orioles in the basement of the American League East, and this one actually has a little bit of intrigue to it, I got to say.
And the Orioles are, again, it's been a while since we've been able to say this and you know, not sound like a lunatic. But the Orioles are a pretty fun team to watch. They've got a lot of young talent. I think the next handful of years, I think we'll see a lot of Blue Jays and Orioles games that mean something. And, yeah, not sure anyone had the Orioles four games above 500 on August the 8th, but that's where we are, and should be a lot of fun because this is a series, as you mentioned, that has an impact on the wild card race. The Blue Jays, fairly safe in where they are at as the top wild card team in the American League. Of course, you can't fall right off a cliff, but they've got a little bit of breathing room. And the Orioles, you know, two games back of a wild card spot, they're kind of right there in the heat. I don't think anyone expects them to make the playoffs, but as we talk about a lot, these games and, you know, these series where you're battling for a playoff spot in the last 60 days of the season, it's going to be very valuable for this young core in Baltimore as they go forward and look to add pieces. But, of course, Baltimore, a team who was selling some assets at the deadline, so I don't think internally expectations are overly high. But they want to remain in the race as long as possible. And you find a way to squeak in, you find a way to squeak in. You're not going to complain about it. But certainly the expectation isn't to make the playoffs. It's been a good year for the Baltimore Orioles.
It's probably just like tendencies at the deadline, right? The Baltimore manager is like, yeah, okay, what day is it? It's trade deadline. It's time to start moving out some assets. And teams are picking up the phone. Like, you guys are only two games out. Are you sure you really want to be dealing some of these assets out of town? But
smart asset management. And I don't think teams do this enough, and that's where I credit the Orioles. I think you got to be realistic about what kind of team you have. And you know,
baseball's interesting because I definitely felt that way before the expanded playoffs, where it was like, if you feel like you don't have a chance at this thing like a month into the season, then why bother? Which is another reason why I always found the MLB season kind of hard to get into, especially in the first half, because it was like, all right, well, especially when the Jays were bad for a very long time, it was like, do I really want to go through watching all of this when really does any of it matter? Because there's going to be the division winners and two other teams that are good enough to win the division but aren't, that are going to be in the postseason. And now with this extended format, it really does feel like there's more teams that feel like they've got a legitimate, real chance. You don't just have to win your division. If you end up in the same division as the Yankees, or if you end up in the same division as the Astros, or if you end up in the same division as the Dodgers, you know, there's opportunity for you to maybe on a lesser payroll or with maybe a little bit even less talent, I would say, get into the playoffs, get into a wild card spot. And as a result, I think a lot more of the baseball right now is exciting. You know, you see 3-4 teams on the outside for the American League. Like if you want to throw Boston in there, they're 3 games back of a wild card. That's another 3 teams that are on the outside looking in, plus you get the 3 wild card teams, plus you get the divisional teams. All of a sudden, it's 10 teams that are dancing around this thing rather than the 6 that it used to be. So it's one thing I do appreciate about the MLB's new playoff structure.
Yeah, I mean, you always had a chance in the wild card, but you certainly, you know, even if, you know, for example, the American League East, you can be 3 teams deep into your division now and still have a chance to make the playoffs. And as we know, I mean, it is a very lengthy season. And once you get into the playoffs, and we talked about this last week, we talked about this in terms of, you know, a great team like the 2001 Mariners, like what the Yankees are doing right now, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have success in October. Sometimes not facing any adversity all year can be a bad thing. And again, long way of saying that It's a cliche, but it's 100% true, especially in baseball. You just find a way to get in, and who knows what can happen.
Yeah, well, you're, you know, one bad inning from one pitcher
one bad start. You're Garrett Cole, for example, was it last week? Give us 6 runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
Night.
Guys who roll in here with 20 wins going into the playoffs could have a terrible inning, and all of a sudden everything is on the table once again. So,
and then you could throw GVP on the mound. He could get lit up. And there you go.
Well, GVP probably would get lit up on the mound anyways. GVP, how was your weekend, man? What'd you do?
It was a good weekend. Went out camping. Went out to White Bridge.
Did you get into some Hammerschlagen?
No, we did not.
Is that the second furthest you've ever been away from Calgary?
It's probably up there, to be honest. But
what a beating. Did you hear that, though?
I did hear that.
No Hammerschlagen.
That's too bad. Everyone's afraid. He didn't bring it up. It was a bit of a hard sell.
It's a mixture of everything, but
you didn't bring it up, did you?
You didn't bring a hammer?
Not a chance.
Yeah, no.
Didn't bring it up. Not a chance.
Coward.
Well, it is what it is.
Coward. That's what I would say.
That is a very coward move.
I thought
we were all friends in here, man.
I went went over to a buddy's place on Friday after the Stamps game. Fire. Hammerschlagen was going. I didn't play. I got there a little bit late, and the game had already been played.
You didn't want to get in the next round?
Well, the sun was going down, and honestly, our lighting situation left a lot to be desired, and it turned more from the Hammerschlagen to the meandering about the fire point in the evening.
Right.
So if it hadn't been for watching the Stamps and Red Blacks, I probably would have gone in there and swung the hammer a few times, but unfortunately did not. But still, it was a really nice weekend out there. Sure. What else you get up to in Wipris? Get up to what? Beer darts?
Yeah, some of that.
Beersby?
A lot of spike ball.
Beer pong? Oh, dude, I love spike ball.
Stack cup. That's all I got.
You play spike ball much, Will?
Yeah, I do. It's a great game.
A lot of fun on the weekends. Get that out.
I got way too much sun out there, though. I'm pretty burnt.
It's called sunscreen.
Yeah, yeah.
A little lobster out there?
Yeah. Mm. A little burnt.
I was at the Shaw Charity Classic on Saturday, and I did not wear sunscreen.
Uh-oh.
But I feel great, man. Look at this tan. It's actually coming through pretty good.
Not really tan at all.
You want to bet? Watch. I'm going to take off my smartwatch. Not a tan? Look at that tan line right there.
Yeah, I guess you are just that pasty.
I am that pasty.
Right here, that doesn't really look like much of a tan.
Well, it is.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not. Obviously, you proved that.
It pretty blatantly is.
Removing your watch, but...
But I'm just a white dude.
Yeah. Not much there.
No. I spend a lot of time in the sun, though. Stamps practice, golf, do what I can.
Which is why I expect you to be darker.
Yeah, but I also wear a lot of sunscreen because I burn pretty easily.
Nice.
See, now we got the base layer on, though, right? Shaw Charity Classic was awesome,
How was the VIP tent?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Did you feel out of place?
I usually do whenever
that's why I asked.
Anything that is remotely fancy. So
that's why I asked.
Kind of, except I was there with my dad, so it was like...
We kind of felt a little bit classy.
Yeah, well-behaved. My Cretan friends I did not invite.
How does your old man like it?
Absolutely loved it. Patrick Harrington, one of his favorites from the good old days, was one of the co-leaders on Saturday. So we watched him teed off, and we followed around that group with Kirk Triplett and Paul Goidos for 5 or 6 holes, I want to say. And unfortunately, Patrick started to knock it around a little bit. Fell back a few strokes to the leader while Triplett and Goidos kind of took off there. So we petered off. Hung out, had some great lunch at the clubhouse. Got to say a big thank you to Shaw and all of our salespeople for helping set this up because it was quite the event. John Daly was out there kicking it in his Hooters pants. The sponsorship coming through big time. He's got the Hooters bag now too. There was one instance, I want to say it was hole 7 on, it would have been his back 9, but the actual front 9 of the course. We posted up near the green because you could see the crowd that was following John Daly from a few holes
classic
ahead because he was playing with Fred Couples on Saturday too. How's that for a grouping? So we hung out near one of the greens and kind of waited for them to roll up. And sure enough, Daly's approach from the rough lands in the sand about 5 feet in front of us. perfect sand shot about 3 inches out from the hole. I have like, the whole thing on video. It's pretty incredible. And yeah, it was just stuff like that. Watched a little bit of the 18th green, saw Vijay Singh come in and several other golfers that I recognized. So across the board, it was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. Jerry Kelly ended up winning it. I think it's like his third win on the Champions Tour this year. So he had a really big Saturday and played well on Sunday to take the whole thing home, because he was one or two groups ahead of the leaders that we were watching when we were there on Saturday. But overall, they do a great job down at Canyon Meadows there. And Shaw and everything. And for me, my first time ever being at like a tournament and spectating, like I've never been down to the U.S. and been to the Waste Management or anything like that. And really enjoyed it. Just wandering around, putzing around, picking different people to follow around. It was really good. You ever been to a tournament like that?
Never been to a live golf event. And your bet for Freddie Couples didn't work out.
No. I never really thought it would. You know, when guys play well in the pro-am, that doesn't necessarily translate. I wasn't too worried about the bets. Even by Saturday, I was like, oh, well, those are what they are. But, and it's the type of thing where you're like, oh, of course, Triplett and Guidos on the leaderboard, right? Like, why didn't I pick Triplett and Guidos?
Guidos, what a beauty. Did you ask him about Mike Trout?
I did not ask him about Mike Trout, no. I wasn't going to interrupt his round from the side. Hey, Paul, you see what Mike did? Big series for the Angels this weekend, hey? Big split.
Can you kick this guy out, please?
I'm trying to, I got to make a birdie here, man. Could you leave me alone?
Yeah.
But yeah. Good also, stuff. You know what? You know who has enjoyed the dad bod movement more than anybody else? Champions Tour.
Well, of course.
What a gig, dude. Like some of these guys, first off, still look like my dad was like, I gotta ID these guys. Like, there's no way they're younger than me, or there's no way they're older than me. Like, some of them look quite young, and then some of them you're like, this guy's just living the dream. What a gig! Like, John Daly with the big Santa Claus beard right now.
The thing's huge.
Oh, one of the favorite parts. So, we watch him hit that sand shot, walk over to the eighth tee box, and watch him tee off. He tees off and lights up a cigarette right in front of us, right as he hops in his golf cart and drives off. I was like, dang, that's John Daly. That's why we're here. This is great. I love this. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
What else did you get up to over the weekend?
Nothing really, man. Hung out. Didn't do a whole heck of a lot. I'm trying to think what I did Saturday. Not sure what I did Saturday.
We saw Nope.
Oh, how was it?
I had a busy weekend. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. We saw that last night. It was good. It was a lot of fun. Aliens and Westerns. It reminded me of, like a lot of the visuals reminded me of down in Montana. My parents used to have a cabin down there and just like big sky, big valleys, rolling hills. Super cool movie though. It wasn't as like freaky or psychologically thrilling as Us or as Get Out was, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. Kahlua was great. Kiki Palmer was great. Steven Yeun was great. The creature, the thing, the mysterious entity that you might have seen flashes of in the trailer. Cool. I liked how they did it. Yeah, it was solid. I enjoyed it.
Steven Yeun made his little career now. Hey, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, after he got his brains bashed out on Walking Dead.
Oof. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that was like 2 decades ago.
6 years.
6 years ago?
Yeah.
That was
it? I can't believe The Walking Dead's in season 11.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can, though.
I gave up.
Just with how, yeah, right after Glenn got his brains bashed out, I was like, this is pretty much it.
I did not watch a lot of the Negan ones. That's kind of where I stopped.
Yeah.
Again, where he got his brains bashed out.
I read a lot of the graphic novels.
Yeah, so you knew where it was going.
and I knew where they were going after the Negan saga, or I had an idea, and I think they've changed that kind of portion quite a bit from the actual, like, source material. It feels like after the Negan thing, they kind of diverted a little bit. But, yeah, I was like, I don't know how they're going to do this, and it's getting a little out there for me. And at that point, I'm pretty sure Robert Kirkman, who had been writing the graphic novels, had only been like 5 or 6 issues ahead of what the actual screen was at. So it was one of those things where they were kind of doing it on the fly, and I don't know how it's gone.
They must still get big viewers.
Well, they've got, what, 2, 3 spinoffs now? I know there's at least 2 of them.
Well, there was the Fear for the Walking Dead, right?
Yes.
Or Fear of the Walking Dead.
I want to say there was another one, too.
Yeah, I'm looking here. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
whoa,
6?
Really?
Now, some of them aren't necessarily official. But Fear the Walking Dead, The Walking Dead World Beyond, Tales of the Walking Dead, Daryl has a spinoff. Which apparently is just launched. Isle of the Dead.
See, that was the one I was thinking about, because I was like, I'm pretty sure there's one where they went over water.
Isle of the Dead was greenlit in March of 2022. And the series is going to be set in Manhattan. 6-episode series. So it's only 6 episodes. Scheduled to premiere next year. And Rick and Michonne apparently going to have a spinoff.
See, that would be good, because I also liked kind of the original castings of the characters. I wasn't so enamored with a lot of the kind of auxiliary, tertiary people that they kind of made up for the show. I didn't love that. I liked Rick's character. I liked John Bernthal's character from the first season, although I can't even remember what his name was.
The first, like, 7 seasons of Walking Dead are unbelievable.
Maggie, Glenn, Daryl. All great characters.
Yes. Daryl was a fan favorite for sure.
Also, wasn't in the comic books. Made up for the show.
There you go.
More you know. But I did like the Negan arc throughout the comics, and I don't know how they did it in the show. I tapped out.
Didn't watch his end, hey?
No. 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 It was because...
couple of texts. The Negan art is great. And Walking Dead certainly jumped the shark after Negan got his head smashed in.
Because that would have been right around the time that Breaking Bad was kind of coming to an end, that The Walking Dead was getting going.
Right.
And I think I had hoped that it was going to grab me the same way that Breaking Bad did, and then it never...
It must have early on, though. Like, early on, yeah. The early seasons of Walking Dead are unbelievable.
But then it teeters off quite a bit.
Yeah.
In fact, I've actually gone back and rewatched the first couple of seasons.
It's really good.
It is quite good. Some of the set design and stuff like that.
Really good.
Very impressive.
Really, really good. I kind of know where this answer is going, because I know that he doesn't want to watch a lot of stuff. But GVP, how many episodes of Walking Dead have you watched?
Not a single second.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I kind of knew where that was going. You don't watch much TV and movies, hey?
I watch for movies. I mostly watch comedies, for the most part. And TV, right. I just don't really basically stick to sports.
They don't really make good comedies anymore.
No, it's all a lot of recurring, like, and when we rehashed were kids, old ideas.
What did we get? We got The Hangover.
Great movie.
Super bad.
When we were kids, come on, Hangover. I was 18.
Okay.
What are you talking about? When we were kids.
Super bad. Yeah. Knocked Up.
Yeah.
Dewey Cox, Step Brothers, all those type of things.
I don't think I ever watched Dewey Cox.
Oh, that was a good one, too. It wasn't as iconic, I would say, as some of the other ones, but Dewey Cox is a great movie.
But yeah, there's not a lot of good comedies anymore. There's a few. Every once in a while. But not fantastic.
Nah. I don't know. I can't remember the last one I liked.
Either way. GVP, expand your horizons.
Yeah, I guess so. For TV wise, I watch like a lot of reruns on Netflix. Like Seinfeld's probably my favorite TV show. So
that's not a bad choice.
Yeah.
I just finished rewatching
it. But I feel like you should expand your horizons, both in travel and in entertainment.
It's not that hard.
Well, I mean, it is financially. It's not, not the easiest thing.
Look at those budget airlines now. You can go anywhere for like $60 as long as you don't mind being jammed into a sardine can.
The guy's an intern at a radio station. How is he?
Swoop, bro.
I understand why you haven't traveled to GBC.
$69 Edmonton to Comox. No problem.
It's not. You're not solving anything there. You still not going to go much.
Edmonton to Abbotsford for $60 one way.
How long's your report?
It's decent. So yeah.
We should probably take a break.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can take a break. Around the corner, we'll get to the morning report. We got a fun show coming up for you. We have Brent Cron's going to join us. We are going to get Peter Labardius on. The Ivan Lenk Cup was just awarded and the World Juniors kick off. And also, going to have a tennis guest on. Going to figure out a time, but
you might want to do that.
Got to confirm some things. He just got back to me from yesterday. So cool. I think I know, but we'll get that sorted out as well as it is the National Bank Open getting underway out in Toronto and Montreal as some of tennis's biggest stars are in our country for not a major, but the closest thing to it. And we got some of that in the morning report for you as well. That's all coming up next as we roll on. It's the big show in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Have you got a hearing test done, Matt?
No.
You might want to. Your headphones were so loud on the break.
It's not even that loud. They were at like half volume. They were not that loud.
They were on the desk, and we could hear everything clearly. They were very loud.
They're like standard.
I'm just concerned about you. That's all.
I think that they're dirty more than anything. They got a lot of earwax in them.
They're not dirty at all.
You don't know that.
I do know that, because those headphones don't get dirty.
No, my ears, dude. I need to get my ears cleaned.
You don't clean them yourself?
No, I clean them myself, but don't you know this, that you should go get your ears like professionally cleaned every once in a while?
That's a waste
because
of money.
Q-tips, you just literally jam more earwax.
Well, you don't
earwax.
Use Q-tips, first of all. And that's just a waste of money. Why would I do that?
What do you mean? Why would you do that? To get them professionally cleaned?
No, never have in my life.
Okay. But you're just jamming earwax into your ears.
I don't use Q-tips.
You just let it be?
Well, it naturally just comes out, yeah.
All right. All right.
Using Q-tips is very bad for your ears.
So you just let them be?
Yeah.
You just like let the...
They just slowly fall out. When the wax comes to the end of your ear, that's how you clean it up.
You just pull it out like you're Shrek?
Yeah. Then you make candles out of it, just like Shrek.
I don't know if you're being serious or not.
I'm just saying. I was concerned for your hearing because your headphones are very loud. That's all.
I don't know what to tell you. I didn't think they were that loud.
I'm just concerned for you. I'm just concerned for you.
I thought it was normal.
And get a hearing test. They're crazy. And you'll be surprised maybe how deaf you are.
I won't be surprised because I listen to a lot of EDM, and like you've mentioned, I listen to my stuff loud. I like it that way.
Very loud.
Well, that's because that's just the way I like it.
GVP,
I like to be able to hear everything.
Have you got a hearing test done before?
No, never.
Come on, guys.
I think my dad needs to go get a hearing test, though.
Uh-oh.
That guy is almost deaf.
Uh-oh. In one ear?
I don't know, but he wears hearing aids now. But
well, then he must have had some sort of hearing test.
He probably had some.
Yeah. Definitely listened to a couple things really loud. He's a carpenter, so like loud stuff happens all the time.
Right in his ears.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to this now, though. 6:35. He's Matt. I'm Will. This is the Morning Report brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors. Quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. We say good morning to the man with a lot of ear wax in his ears, Matt Rose.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose. Matt Rose.
Play ball.
I don't know if it's a lot of earwax. I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to have to get that. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to go get my ears cleaned. Get that done this week.
And a hearing test.
and I guess a hearing test all in one. We used to have sponsors for that. Probably not anymore. But I can probably figure it out on my own. We'll get the ears checked. Busy weekend in sports, Will. What do we have? The Wyndham Championship. There was some other golf locally, the Champions Tour. The Stampeders were in action. The Blue Jays battled the Twins. And a whole bunch of NHL teams avoided arbitration with some of their young players. So we'll dive into it. The Jays were taking on the Twins. A four-game set began back on Thursday. That was a win for Toronto. Then Friday, the Twins walked it off with a slide at home in the 10th to take a 6-4 victory in a game where Jose Berríos struggled early, but the Toronto bats kept him in it. 27-year-old Mitch White got his first start as a Jay on Saturday. That one ended with a resounding 7-3 Twins victory. So chance to split the four-gamer Sunday. Kevin Gausman facing Chris Archer in the pitching matchup, and the Jays got to Archer quickly.
0-1 to Bowe. Swinging a line drive to the gap in the right center field. That's down for a base hit going all the way to the wall. Hernandez got a great read. He's streaking around the bases, turns the corner at third, headed towards the plate, and he'll score on an RBI double from Bichette. 1-0. Swinging a line drive right back up the middle, a base hit into center field. Wheeled around third, Biggio comes to the plate. Here's the throw by Celestino. It's cut off and bounced away from the cutoff man, Miranda. It ends up at the plate. Biggio is in easily on the RBI single from Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
So Bo Bichette with an RBI double in the second. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. knocks in another in the third, ending an early 2-0 lead for Toronto. Kevin Gausman did his part as well, looked to put together a few nice outings in a row. He also got some assistance from his outfield as he tried to keep his shutout bid alive through the third and fourth innings.
There's a ground ball that kicks off the top of the mound. Bounce past the bag at second. Fielded by Bichette, ranging a long way to his left. Throws on to first to get the out and retire the side.
Really nice play by Bichette there to get through the third. Hernandez had a really nice catch to end the fourth as well. Gausman went six shutout innings, six hits against, no walks, five strikeouts, back-to-back shutout innings for Gausman in August. Anthony Bass would pitch a shutout seventh, one hit against, one strikeout. He was replaced by Yimi Garcia for the eighth, but Garcia would get into a bit of trouble.
3-1. Swinging a line drive into center field, a base hit. Turning the corner at third, Polanco will come in to score. Tapia's throw is late as it dribbles through the diamond on an RBI base hit for Jose Miranda. Blue Jays lead cut in half. 2-1 Toronto here in the eighth.
So Polanco singles to open it up. Then it's Jose Miranda with the knock to cross the first run. That would be it, though. Garcia able to induce outs from the next two batters, taking a one-run lead into the bottom of the ninth. Jordan Romano out to shut this one down, but the usually reliable Canadian just a tad off. He hits the first batter, strikes out the second, allows a single to the third, which also put the tying run on third base.
The pitch. Arai swings on a ground ball into right field to tie the game. Beckham scores to make it a 2-2 score on the third hit of the day for Luis Arai. Jordan Romano blows his fourth save opportunity of the season. Sanchez stands at second with the winning run.
Not great. Romano would get out of the inning without allowing the walk-off, but certainly not ideal as the game went to extras. This is where things started to get a little bit crazy. Whit Merrifield starts out on second base. He gets advanced to third on a sacrifice fly, and then this.
First pitch popped up. Out to left. Beckham underneath it. Steps forward to gain momentum. The catch is made. Merrifield's coming down the line. Beckham with the throw on the fly. The play at the plate. And he is out! He's out at the plate! Inning-ending double play after a sensational throw made by Beckham in left field. And the Blue Jays now will want the review. Beckham with the throw on the fly. Sanchez with the tag. Got it down on the body of Merrifield.
After review, the call on the field is overturned.
And Rocco Baldelli is incensed. He just fired his cap off towards the Blue Jay dugout. He is livid at what just got called.
Woo-hoo-hoo! So Baldelli is the manager for the Twins. Merrifield slides in, tagged out at home. Jays challenge, saying that Gary Sanchez blocked the base paths There's a little bit of a review from New York. Twins aren't happy. Twins fans aren't happy. But above all, Rocco Baldelli, the Twins manager, was the most unhappy. Things went from bad to worse as the runs scored, and Minnesota also couldn't muster anything else against Romano in the bottom of the 10th.
Two outs, the pitch. Swinging a ground ball out to Bichette. He's got it. Throw to first to finish the ball game. And what a wild ride in the finale of this series in Minneapolis. The Blue Jays have two calls go in their favor on review, with Whit Merrifield dashing down the third baseline on a sacrifice fly from Kevin Biggio.
3-2 the final score. And remember how I said Baldelli was not happy?
In all of baseball, the thousands and thousands of games and plays at home where the catcher actually does block the plate over and over and over again, that play has virtually never been called. And for someone to step in that situation and ultimately make a decision that that was blocking the plate, that's beyond embarrassing for our game, for all the players out there on both sides of the field working their ass off for the entire game. It's completely unacceptable. I can't even believe I'm sitting here talking to you guys about this right now. It's one of the worst moments I think we've seen of umpiring in any game I've ever been a part of in baseball. And I think it was pathetic what just played out. And I could go on and on and on about this. The umpires on the field have nothing to do with it. They made a play on the field, which is the right call, which every person in all of baseball, including the umpires, know is the proper call. And someone in New York decided that that was worthy of being overturned on the field.
Rocco, really not happy with that one.
And I think it was pathetic.
But John Schneider on the other side of things.
I think the call was correct. You know, that's why they have the rule in place. And, you know, credit to Witt for A, getting a third on the fly ball to center on Buxton, and then B, you know, sliding correctly into home, which I think made that play a little bit more relevant, you know. So that's kind of what we saw, you know, in, you know, live and in person, and was confirmed on video. So, you know, rules are the rules, and glad that Witt did it the way he did.
Rules are the rules. Jays win it 3-2. They split with the Twins, and now they get set for a three-gamer against the Baltimore Orioles.
It's a classic case of the manager who the call went against doesn't like it. Manager who got the call the right way and benefited his team, he doesn't have a problem with it.
And I think it was pathetic.
You know, rules are the rules, and glad that Witt did it the way he did.
Classic, really.
I love it.
Seen it a couple of times. I see it both ways. I think you said it in the first segment. Controversial is probably the best way to put it. Sanchez did have his knee in the way, but he lifted his knee at the last second. So it's kind of like a mix. Blocked the plate, then unblocked the plate. He was definitely in the way.
I think
the throw was also right on target. So what else is the catcher supposed to do?
Like, called out on the play. So you had to overturn it as well.
I can see it both ways. But yeah, I was laughing because, again, Rocco Baldelli, every reason to be upset, for sure.
And I think it was pathetic.
John Schneider, no problem with it. I love the call.
Rules are the rules, and glad that Witt did it the way he did.
Yeah.
Rules are the rules, Will.
Nothing to see here, man.
3-2, the victory. And now, as we mentioned, a big set against the Orioles. Yusei Kikuchi gets the ball tonight. 5:07 first pitch. We'll have this one for you. Another Jays note as well. Tim Mayza, been placed on the 15-day injured list with a dislocated shoulder, suffered in a collision over the weekend. Trent Thornton recalled from AAA Buffalo. Taking a look at the standings, the Jays remain in the first wildcard spot. They're now only 9.5 games back of the Yankees for first in the AL East. The Rays and Mariners, both two games back of the Jays, they hold the second and third wild card spots. Tampa just won 3 of 4 against the Tigers. They're off today. The Mariners split a four-gamer with the Angels. They're getting set to kick off a three-gamer with the Yankees tonight. The Orioles and Guardians are both two games out of a wild card spot. Baltimore won 2 of 3 against the Pirates over the weekend. And as mentioned, they play the Jays starting tonight. The Guardians split a four-game weekend set with the Astros. They are off today. We'll switch it up, go to the NHL as we had some signings over the weekend, several teams avoiding arbitration dates that were scheduled for this week. We also had an arbitrator rule on the only case that had actually gotten to the courtroom. Yakov Trenin awarded a two-year, $3.4 million contract with the Nashville Predators. That's $1.7 million per. His ask was $2.4 million. The team was $1.35 million, so this tilts heavily towards the team. The other signings didn't require arbitration. Keegan Kolesar gets 3 years with Vegas, $1.4 million per. Tyler Benson in Edmonton gets 1 year at league minimum. Maxime Lajoie in Carolina gets a year at league minimum. Mason Appleton in Winnipeg signs for 3 years, $6.5 million total, $2.166 and change per season. Lawson Crouse and the Coyotes have their arbitration date today. The player has asked for $4 million per year. The team has filed at $2.5 per year. 20 goals and 34 points in 60 games with Arizona last year for Lawson Crouse. In international action, Canada beat Sweden to claim gold at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup.
I love gold!
4-1 the final score as they beat Sweden. First gold since 2018 for the Canadians at this tournament. Also, the rescheduled World Juniors from this past holiday season will feed off of that, with the tournament itself beginning on Tuesday. Canada's first game will be on Wednesday. Take a jump to the CFL. The Stampeders were in our nation's capital over the weekend, taking on the Red Blacks.
Sure, first off, that's a sweet mustache.
Dave Dickinson did not make the trip. Using COVID protocols, it wasn't a banner day for the offense, and that may have been part of it. Could also have been part of Sean McEwen and Kadeem Carey being out for the offense. Sometimes that Bagleton, Jordan, and Bolivar Mitchell did kind of just look out of sync, but hey, they pounded away. Dedrick Mills at running back was very good. He had 100 yards rushing. They put up several field goals. Outstanding rookie Titus Wall made a great jump on a ball to pick off Caleb Evans for 6 points right before the end of the first half. That really propelled the Stampeders to a 17-3 victory. Big one for Mark Killam, who was doing head coaching duties with Dave Dickinson watching at home.
Each phase did some things. I mean, you could get down on the offense, but they were battling through injuries all night, so we're rolling guys in and out of there. I thought Dedrick Mills showed up again, and special teams had to make a couple. We had a couple big covers late, and then what can you say about the defense? They got their hands on a ton of balls on day one, and we talked about it then, and they did it again tonight and sealed the win for us.
Really good game for the defense. Bolivar Mitchell, 13 for 27, 137 yards. And an interception. Dedrick Mills, 16 carries for 100 yards. Reggie Bagleton led all receivers with 50 yards on 5 catches, 8 targets. The Stamps also had 3 interceptions, one for Deontay Ruffin, 2 of them for Titus Wall, and recovered a fumble as well. As it was a pretty solid game for the defense. Special teams was good enough as well. Got the win. Now on to BC.
A very unwatchable game, I would suggest, between the Stampeders and the Red Blacks. Defense, as you mentioned, was on point. I mentioned it earlier in the program, when you allow 3 points in a CFL game, you're doing something right on defense. That was the case. And I don't think it's wave a red flag, but boy, has it been a tough stretch for Kamar Jordan. 10 targets in that game, 2 catches.
Missed on several, dropped on several, but it's been 2 of his last 3 games have not been great, that's for sure, as one of the big weapons in that offense. Now, granted, Malik Henry is having a really good year and kind of helping when things are sliding a bit for Kamar Jordan here, but not a great little stretch for him. Other action from the weekend saw the Lions beat the Elks 46-14. The Elks now move to 6-1. The Argonauts.
No, the Elks moved to 2-6.
The Lions moved to 6-1. The Argonauts solidified their spot atop the East. They beat the Tiger Cats by a 34-20 score. And now they are 3-4? Gross. Not great.
4-3.
4-3.
And a 3.5 game lead in the East Division.
That's, not great. But, hey, Week 10, Stamps, Lions, that should be a doozy on Saturday. Argos and Ticats have a rematch. Rough Riders and Elks, Alouettes and Blue Bombers. Lions, Stamps, that's the marquee matchup. That's the one you're going to want to see. We'll switch it up. Final couple notes to get to before we wrap up our morning report here.
We take out our drivers, we tee up, and... That ball goes sailing up into the sky, holds there for a moment, and then...
That's a Seinfeld there for you, GVP. That's a Kramer.
It's a classic, yeah.
It was the Wyndham Championship over the weekend, final tournament of the PGA Tour before the FedEx Cup playoffs begin on the weekend, the St. Jude Championship. We were keeping an eye on the 125 cut for not only the playoffs, but the tour cards for next year. A couple Canadians right on the bubble. Nick Taylor, woo boy, he cut it close. Three over, he dropped three spots from 120 to 122. Michael Gligich, five under after his first round, but over par Friday and Saturday. Ends up four under, but it's not enough. He finishes 134th. Sungjae Im was the winner of the tournament overall, a six-stroke winner. It was also the final major on the women's tour. Brooke Henderson over at Muirfield in Scotland. A solid showing for Brooke, 5 under par, which tied her for 7th. The winner was Ashley Buhai at 10, who won in a playoff. And it was also the Shaw Charity Classic down at Canyon Meadows as the Champions Tour made its way to town. Jerry Kelly would beat John Houston with a birdie in a playoff hole for his third win on the Champions Tour this year. And in tennis, the National Bank opener kicks off today. Technically, it's day three as they did some of the wild card admissions over the weekend, stuff like that. But in singles action, Denis Shapovalov has his first match today.
Shapovalov.
And for the women, Leila Annie Fernandez also has a match tonight. Wild card Canadian Catherine Sibov will have a match later today, too. And the last but not least.
Ooh, look out! Let the big dog eat!
The Okotoks Dogs play their first playoff game tonight. They host the Brooks Bombers just after 7. That'll be a three-game set that will continue tomorrow in Brooks. And that...
And good night and good luck to you, sir.
...is your morning report.
The morning report is every single day in the second half of the first hour of the program. It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors. Quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Mentioned it before. You said the marquee matchup in week 10 of the CFL year, Calgary and BC. I would agree. And I would suggest that if you have not been to a Stamps game this summer, that is the one you want to go to. Nathan Ort going to be in town. Again, it was the Elks. I understand that. But this guy continues to light up CFL scoreboards. He had 3 incompletions on 37 attempts over the weekend. 5 touchdowns through the air, 1 on the ground. This kid is a star. And, you know, in my lifetime, I've not seen a Canadian quarterback ever do this type of things on a CFL field. And this guy is just going to, I think, continue to light the world on fire. It's made BC one of the best and most exciting teams to watch all year. Their schedule, I understand, has not been the toughest, but he has 26 touchdowns through 7 games when you combine his passing and rushing. 233 yards on the ground and 5 touchdowns, 2,418 yards and 21 touchdowns through the air. He has been so fun to watch. He has more than 2 touchdowns in now 4 of his 7 games when it comes to his action through the air.
I don't think it's weird that Brian Burnham returned, and it was another outstanding game for Nathan Rourke as well, as he has quite a receiver group there with Lucky Whitehead and Dominic Rhymes, and Javon Kotoy has been good this year, and then Burnham. They brought in Shai Ross, who didn't stick in Edmonton. So he's got some serious weapons there in BC as well, which is really helping with some of the stat lines and the numbers that we're seeing coming out of BC for sure. It's been pretty crazy to watch.
And I think he would like to play, if he could, he'd like to play the Edmonton Elks every single week. He's played them now twice on the year.
Mm-hmm.
He is 60 for 66. 759 yards and 8 touchdowns through the air.
Yuck. Edmonton's so bad. Gross. Figure it out.
Going to be a long year for Chris Jones and the Edmonton Elks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be joined by a special guest. A friend of the program kicks off hour number 2. Could be a rant or two involved as well in this next phone call. Looking forward to it as we move into hour 2. He's Matt. I'm Will. This is the Big Show live from the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio. Happy Monday, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.